Well, I'm glad we are in the presence of the Lord in this new year to study the Word of God. So let's look to the Lord as we prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence today. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And we thank you for the blessings that you pour out into our lives, the greatest of which is your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the celebration of his birth, his death, and his resurrection, which we shall partake today in a special way. And I just pray that you'll be with us from start to finish, and that your Holy Spirit will take control of our time together in your presence. And we pray all these things with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, in World War I, the American 308th Regiment was surrounded by enemy forces and under severe mortar and machine gun fire. Casualties were heavy and supplies were short. The unbearable situation intensified when American artillery began shelling the sector where the 308th Regiment dug in. So this is a classic example of friendly fire. The only communication was by carrier pigeon. In desperation, a sergeant released the last bird with a note pleading for the Americans to hold fire. As soon as the pigeon lifted off, a stray bullet grazed the side of his head and tore out his left eye. Then a piece of shrapnel hit his chest, shattering his chest bone. But his homing instinct was strong and he struggled onward. Somewhere in the flight, another piece of shrapnel tore off his left leg, leaving the message canister hanging or dangling from the torn ligaments. The pigeon made it to his loft, however, and the order went out immediately to stop shelling. Alas, the 308th Regiment survived. While facing incredible life-threatening obstacles, the Apostle Paul carried the gospel of the Lord Jesus to a dying world in his days, refusing to be discouraged in the heat of the battle. Now, at the end of his life, he encourages young Timothy to press on and persevere in the battle as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me from his word today to deliver to you at this critical hour in your life and my life. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is poised and prepared to plant the seed of God's dependable and divine truth in order to change born-again Christians more into the glorious image of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great defender and deliverer of the church, and to convict the unbelieving of the sin of unbelief, compassionately and confidently leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the redeemer and rescuer of sinners in this world. So here is our message in a nutshell. Please, I encourage you to listen carefully to it with an open mind and an open heart. Here is the message in one single sentence. The Christian life, my recording stopped. The Christian life involves warfare, and the Christian soldier must regard hardship as inevitable in a world that is hostile to Christ. I'll try this again.
That went off almost at the beginning. Yeah, I don't know why he did that, but sometimes you can't predict electronics.
There we go. Sorry about that. I repeat my sentence. The Christian life involves warfare, and the Christian soldier must regard hardship as inevitable in a world that is hostile to Christ. Folks, friends, followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to graphically and greatly portray to genuine born-again believers today that a war is underway. And God's people, that is you and me, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are meant to be involved as serious, strong, and steadfast participants, not spectators who are sitting on the sidelines. As such, the Bible employs three important metaphors for the Christian life. Namely, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, all requiring perseverance, purposeful hard work, and personal disciplines. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 7. Would you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into our English language. Actually, I'll be reciting from verse 1 just to help us get ourselves oriented, because we are in the 2 Timothy series. Chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now to our passage of study, verse 3 to 7. The Bible says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you an understanding in everything. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us today a passage of scripture that can be accurately described as a passage of suffering on one hand and sacrifice on the other hand. First of all, it is a passage of suffering because it specifically depicts the Christian life as a life of suffering hardship. I tell you, friends, the Christian life involves hardship. You know that, and I know that. It involves tough and trying times. It involves difficult and dark times. As such, we have no basis in fact or experience for presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ as a way of making life sweet and simple, much less as a road to uninterrupted happiness. Some people present the gospel to people as if it is a road to uninterrupted happiness. Paul, who suffered so much for the cause of Christ, calls upon young Timothy that as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he must endure in suffering hardship as an active member of the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, this passage is a passage of sacrifice, listen, because it superbly describes the sacrifice involved in the Christian life. Now, think of the sacrifice a good soldier will have to make to fulfill his duties successfully. Also think of the sacrifice an athlete will have to make to compete in the Olympic Games to win a medal. Remember, we have Olympics coming up this year in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. All the athletes are preparing now for that big moment in Rio. Now think of also the sacrifice the hard-working farmer will have to make to plow his field, to plant his seed, to prepare for harvest, and then to pull in his harvest when harvest time comes. Well, like the soldier, an athlete, and the farmer, the believer in Jesus Christ must ever be ready to sacrifice himself or herself for Christ and his cause. So these are the reasons why our passage of study today can be accurately described as a passage of suffering and a passage of sacrifice. But please, I want you to understand that the supreme example of suffering and sacrifice is none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we suffer, what we sacrifice, pales in comparison to what he had to suffer and sacrifice. Well, having simply whetted your spiritual appetite, please allow me to give you a brief overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present our passage of study to you from start to finish. First of all, we will examine the Bible's call to suffer hardship in verse 3. Through Paul, the Holy Spirit sounded a clarion call for endurance in the face of the suffering, in the face of suffering for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Timothy was called to suffer hardship with Paul and others in the army of Jesus Christ. Paul himself has suffered so much for the gospel. He endured hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As such, he is a good model of suffering hardship, not only for Timothy, but also for true believers today. Well, second, we will discuss the three common metaphors for the Christian life in verses 4 to 6. Through the Holy Spirit again, Paul uses three common metaphors in describing the Christian life, namely a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Now, the real question is, how is the Christian life like that of a soldier? How is the Christian life like that of an athlete? How is the Christian life like that of a farmer? Well, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will answer these crucial questions in the course of our study today. And third and finally, we'll focus on the Spirit's charge to Timothy to ponder his instructions in verse 7. The Holy Spirit strongly charged Timothy to consider what he's saying through Paul to him. The charge to Timothy was followed by a convincing personal promise from the heart of the Holy Spirit to Timothy. And the question is, what was that convincing personal promise from the heart of the Holy Spirit to Timothy? Is it a promise that can apply to believers today? Can you also claim that promise that was given to Timothy? Well, we will seek answers to these questions in the course of our study before we are done today. Well, having given you a concise overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper to discover the precious and practical lessons the Holy Spirit is so desirous and delighted to impress upon our hearts in order to do his decisive and divine work of molding and making true believers more like Jesus Christ, the rock and refuge of God's believing people. We begin first of all with his teaching, focusing on the call to suffer hardship in verse 3. Without mincing words, the Holy Spirit sounds a clarion call for endurance in the face of suffering for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3. In your Bible and my Bible says, listen carefully, it says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Not many preachers have called their congregations to suffer with them, but Paul called Timothy to suffer with him hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Please let me ask you, when you first became a believer and decided to follow Jesus, did you assume it would be a bed of roses or a bed of nails? What have you learned about the cost of following Jesus since then? What roles do suffering and endurance play in your Christian life so far? You see, these were questions young Timothy had faced in his walk with Jesus, in his work for Jesus, and his worship of Jesus. Actually, the call to suffer hardship is a command. This is actually the second time the Holy Spirit calls or commands Timothy to suffer hardship. First, in chapter 1, verse 8, remember when we studied chapter 1, verse 8, he says to Timothy, therefore, do not be ashamed of me. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, he's expressly called a second time to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Actually, the same Greek verb was used in the call to suffer for the gospel in chapter 1, verse 8, and then the call to suffer hardship in chapter 2, verse 3. The verb is sun kakopatheo. Sun kakopatheo. It also means to suffer evil or affliction together with. To bear evil treatment along with. Take one share of ill treatment. So have you taken your share of ill treatment for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, one aspect of the Christian life is that it is a warfare against the forces of evil. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, which I believe most of you here have memorized or can remember, that our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood. But against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, conflicts against these forces, conflicts against the hostile world in which we live today, and persecution will arise. Therefore, Timothy must be a good soldier of Christ Jesus, enduring hardship. And the same is true for us. It's as if Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit to Timothy, your commitment to Christ and his cause will certainly result in you facing conflicts, challenges, difficulties, and dark times. And when you face them, you must not quit. You must not throw in the towel. You must not walk away. You must not give up. You must be a good soldier of Christ Jesus, enduring all these hardships. Remember that I myself, through the power of the Spirit, endured many hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So, believer in Jesus Christ, what difficulties are you facing because of your commitment to Jesus as Lord? Are you enduring them, or do you just want your difficulties to end right now? Lord, I can't take it anymore. Let this stop in my life. Are you persevering through them, or are you spending all your time pouting about them? That's what we do often. When trouble comes, trials come, we often pout. We don't persevere. Well, having served in World War I, C.S. Lewis, whom many of you have read about, was no stranger to the stresses of military service. In a public address during the Second World War, he eloquently described the hardships of a soldier has to face in these words, and I quote him, "All that we fear from all the kinds of adversity is collected together in the life of the soldier on active service. Like sickness, it threatens pain and death. Like poverty, it threatens sickness. Like poverty, it threatens ill lodging, cold, heat, thirst, and hunger. Like hunger, it threatens..." I missed one. Well, there's one, it says, I missed it. Hunger, it threatens toil, humiliation, injustice, and arbitrary rule. Like exile, it separates you from all you love. End quote. Paul used the analogy of a soldier suffering hardship to describe, listen, the trials a believer may face or experience in service to Christ. Paul, now at the end of his life, had faithfully endured suffering for the sake of the gospel. Now he encourages Timothy to do the same when he said to him, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." So, believer in Jesus Christ, may I remind you today that serving Christ requires what? Perseverance, endurance, steadfastness in the midst of trials. We may encounter obstacles of poor health, troubled relationships, or difficult circumstances. But as a good soldier, we must press on with God's strength, because we serve who? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who himself has sacrificed and suffered so much on our behalf. Well, having examined the call to suffer hardship, let's now explore the Bible's teaching focusing on the three common metaphors for the Christian life in verses 4 to 6. Now, there are three common metaphors Paul will use today in our study to describe the Christian life. Through the Holy Spirit, Paul used three metaphors to describe the Christian life: a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, and a farmer, who must discipline themselves and be willing to sacrifice to achieve the results they want. First of all, let's look at the metaphor of a soldier. Perhaps some of you have children who are soldiers today, or maybe your parents were soldiers today. So we all know the life of a soldier. Please listen to what the Bible says in verse 4 about the metaphor of a soldier. He says, "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." Literally, this verse reads, "No one soldiering is involved with the affairs of life in order that he may please the one having enlisted him." Actually, Paul employs the metaphor of a soldier to describe Archippus, in whose house a church met. He calls him our fellow soldier in Philemon chapter 1 verse 2. Remember, we studied Philemon several years ago. He also calls Epaphroditus, the messenger of the Philippian church, my fellow soldier. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, and remember several years ago we studied Philippians as well. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he uses it to describe the life of the Christian minister. And you are a Christian minister, and I am a Christian minister. Now the question is, what are the qualities of a soldier? What do we know about the life of a soldier? Well, the Roman code of Theodosius said, we forbid men engaged in military service to engage in civilian affairs. So if you are a soldier, you are forbidden from engaging in civilian affairs. So the point here is that the soldier must focus on his life of being a soldier without involving himself in ordinary daily business of life and living, lest he will be what? Distracted. Can you imagine, think of me, a soldier in the midst of war. There is war going on, and the soldier is on the battlefield, going to his commanding officer, and saying to his commanding officer, sir, I'm sorry today because I have to leave now in the midst of the battle. I have to go into the city to check on my family and see to some business with a business partner. So I just won't be able to fight in the battle tonight. You know, and I know, that if there is such a soldier, he's not what? A good soldier. Why? He's entangled in, mixed up in, involved in civilian affairs or everyday life. You see, a good soldier who is in active service must leave behind the comforts of home and his personal affairs to fully devote himself to his duty. Anything less puts his mission in jeopardy. Similarly, the good soldier of Jesus Christ must refuse to allow the things of the world to distract him or her. If you are a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will be focusing on being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, not entangling yourself in the affairs of the world in a way that doesn't honor Christ. He or she must not be so entangled in worldliness that he or she is not able to live the Christian life. In other words, the good soldier of Christ Jesus must focus on his or her Christianity. If I'm a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I must focus on my Christianity first and foremost. You see, the Bible is teaching us here that the soldier portrays, listen carefully, a sense of priority and always seeks to please his commander. That is the one who enrolled him or enlisted him as a soldier. For any working person, the master's pleasure is most important. So when Christ, the conqueror, the commander-in-chief, the ultimate champion, has enlisted us as full-time soldiers in his army, the Bible is saying to us, we should seek to do what? To please him by giving ourselves to his service without distraction. I remember some time ago, a fellow pastor wanted me to get involved with something that was almost like a Ponzi scheme. He says, this is the thing, you pay this amount, and then we'll be able to get more people to join you, and then you'll be able to receive. It's like a pyramid. Then you get more money. But it will involve time for me going around trying to tell people to join this. And I recognized that was a distraction in my path. And I had to say to him, no, I will not be able to do that. So you as a soldier must serve without distraction. We must be ready and willing to sacrifice ourselves, our talents, our treasures, and our time for Christ and his cause. Why? Because the soldier is conditioned to sacrifice. Not only that, we must remain loyal to Christ. Through all the challenges, the conflicts, and the changes of life, down even to the gates of death. Why? Because the soldier is conditioned to loyalty. His supreme desire is that he is faithful unto death. Not only that, the good soldier of Jesus must live in obedience to the voice of the commander in chief in order to please him. One writer says, the first Christian duty is obedience to the voice of God and acceptance even of that which he cannot understand. You see, a soldier on duty keeps himself or herself in readiness for orders from the headquarters. Similarly, the Bible is teaching us here today that the Christian soldier must keep himself or herself in readiness to obey the commands of Christ, who is the commander-in-chief of the army of God. Say, Christian soldier, that is who you are, and I'm a Christian soldier. Are you marching on the orders of Christ, the commander-in-chief? Do you think of yourself as a soldier of Christ? Do you recognize that the Christian life is not a playground, but a battleground? That's what Paul is trying to teach Timothy. While the soldier portrays a sense of priority and always seeks to please his commander, the athlete portrays a sense of personal discipline. Actually, Paul is fond of both military and athletic metaphors. The believer, and especially the minister of the Word of God, must be spiritually a good soldier and a good athlete. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. He says, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The Greek verb translated competes as an athlete comes from the verb athleo. It's just like athletic, athleo. It is found only in the New Testament in this verse 2 times. It is used in competing in an athletic contest in the arena. And it also means to wrestle or to strive. It expresses the effort and determination needed to compete successfully in athletic events. In other words, a good athlete is one who is under what? Strict discipline and self-denial. If you want to be a good athlete, there will be times you have to what? Most of the time, you have to be disciplined. He must keep to his schedule of training and let nothing interfere with it. There will be days when he will like to drop his training and relax his discipline, but he must not do so. There will be pleasures and interests he would like to enjoy, but he must refuse them. You see, the athlete who excel knows that he must let nothing interfere with the standards of physical fitness which he has set for himself. Similarly, the Bible is teaching us that there must be what? Personal discipline in your life as a Christian and in my life as a Christian. There are times when the easy way for the Christian is very attractive and appealing. There are times when the right thing is the hard thing. There are times when we are tempted to relax our standards. But a Christian, the Bible is teaching us here, must be like an athlete who trains himself or herself and disciplines himself or herself in his spiritual or her spiritual effort and untiring pursuit of victory. Notice the Bible says in the athlete cannot win the prize, literally, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, the winning athlete in those days, he's given the victor's wreath. They don't have medals as we have today, but they have what they call the victor's wreath, given to the winner at the end of the game. But that person must only be given that wreath if he competes according to the rules. If he doesn't obey the rules, that man is disqualified. In other words, an athlete's hard work and personal discipline will be altogether wasted if he or she fails to compete according to the rules. Now, you've watched the Olympics several times. Some people were disqualified. Why? Because they didn't compete according to the rules. They used drugs, steroids, to boost their power and ability to outwit and beat others. And they will have to be stripped of their what? Medals. It happened many times. Well, similarly, the Bible says, in order for the believer in Jesus to receive the reward, he or she must, in reliance upon the Holy Spirit, maintain an unqualified or unquestioning obedience to the Word of God. This is therefore a call to obey the Word of God in the pursuit of spiritual victory. Bible commentator William Barclay writes, "The real Christian knows that the supreme rule of the Christian life is love. That is the only rule you and I must go by." Also commenting on the need to play by the rules, the late Dr. McGee writes, and I quote him, he says, "There is no shortcut toward living the Christian life. Forget the gimmickry today that condenses Christianity into a little course of a few rules and regulations. God gave us 66 books, and each of them is very important. It takes the composite picture to give us the mind and the Word of God. We are to study the whole Bible. An athlete can't cut the corner of the race track. Neither can a baseball player run by the second base without touching it. He has to touch all the bases to score. A child of God has to do that too. If you are going to win, you can't take any shortcuts." Please, end quote. Please don't get hooked on shortcuts or quick fixes. Why? Because a disciplined Christian doesn't take shortcuts and is not hooked on quick fixes. So the soldier portrays a sense of priority. The athlete portrays a sense of personal discipline. So the question is, what sense does the farmer portray to us? Well, the farmer portrays a sense of perseverance and patience. That is why the Bible says in verse 6, "The hard-working farmer or husbandman or land worker ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops." The emphasis is on hard-working. The word hard-working comes from the Greek verb kopio. Kopiao, which also means work hard, toil, labor, strive, struggle, become tired or grow weary. It is a verb that speaks of laboring extremely hard to the point of exhaustion. Have you done that of late? You labor extremely hard to the point of exhaustion. Well, that's the verb the Bible uses here of the farmer, the hard-working farmer. Most of us know here that being a farmer is not for the lazy people. I haven't seen a farmer who is a lazy farmer. Most of the farmers I've met are hard-working farmers. They wake up early in the morning when most people are sleeping and go to work. Farming is for those who are hard workers. Ancient farmers worked long hours of back-breaking labor under all kinds of conditions with the hope that their physical effort will be rewarded by a good harvest. They worked hard and waited long for the harvest because there are no such things as quick results in farming. In other words, farmers not only persevere, but they are also what? Patient. Only after the farmer has worked his field long and hard may he accept his privilege to feed his family first. So the point here is that Timothy is being exhorted as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ not to be lazy or laid back, but to labor intensely with a view to the harvest to come. Applying this to the believer in Jesus Christ, the believer must also learn to work hard, persevere in the service of Christ. Like the farmer, the Christian must work hard at sowing the good seed of the Word of God into the hearts and minds of people God brings your way. And just as the farmer has learned to wait with patience, and so must the Christian. Why? The prize to be won in the Christian life will only come after patient endurance. Some people want their prize right now. Give it to me right now. God says, that's not the case. Your prize will only come after you have patiently endured through all the trials. And meanwhile, I'll be molding and making you more like Christ through all the trials you face. While summing up the three metaphors, Bible commentator William Barclay shares this excellent insight. He writes, and I quote, "The soldier is upheld by the thought of final victory. The athlete is upheld by the vision of the crown. The husbandman is upheld by the hope of the harvest. Each submits to the discipline and the toil for the sake of the glory which shall be." It is so with the Christian. The Christian's struggle is not without a goal. It is always going somewhere. The Christian can be certain that after the effort of the Christian life, there comes the joy of heaven. And the greater the struggle, the greater the joy. End quote. How wonderful are those words. Well, having faithfully examined the call to suffer hardship, having also freshly explored the common metaphors for the Christian life, the Bible fittingly ends its teaching on our passage of study by turning our attention to the Holy Spirit's charge to Timothy to ponder his instructions in verse 7. Will you please listen to the charge given to Timothy? The Bible says, "Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Timothy is charged with an important responsibility. He's to ponder, think about, meditate, reflect, or consider the message the Holy Spirit has spoken to him through Paul. The Greek verb used here, noeo, denotes clear perception, full understanding, and careful consideration. The form of the verb suggests a continual practice. Timothy must continually ponder, reflect, meditate on the instructions of God through Paul. In other words, the charge is a strong admonition, not a mere advice. It's not like Paul is telling him, well, I'm advising you maybe when you have time. He says, no, this is a strong admonition to you. Give it your attention. Timothy must keep on giving deep thought to what the Spirit was instructing him through Paul. Notice Timothy is given a convincing promise that if he faithfully reflects or meditates or considers or ponders on the message written to him, the Lord himself, not Paul, the Lord himself will give him understanding in everything. That is everything about which Paul has instructed him. You see, the believer's efforts in the Spirit and God's empowering work together. So it's as if the Holy Spirit is saying to Timothy, give yourself to pondering through and reflecting on my instructions to you. And as you do so, God himself, the Lord himself, will give you insight, the insight you need. So now the question is, does this promise of being given understanding apply to believers today? Sure, it does. Please listen carefully. God speaks through the Bible, his word today. But we need to be open and receptive to him. So as you read the Bible, one of the things I do is to ask God to show me his timeless truths and the application to my life. And as you do so, you carefully and prayerfully consider what you have read. By thinking it through and meditating on it, God will give you the understanding you need for that day. You have what you need for that day. So, believer in Jesus Christ, as this message wraps up, be reminded today that you are called to suffer hardship for the cause of Christ. But your call to suffer hardship will not be in vain. In a future day soon, you will see that your suffering is worthwhile. When you achieve your goal of glorifying God, winning people to Christ, and one day living eternally with Jesus Christ, that day you say what you've suffered pales in comparison with the glory that is being revealed to you. Believer in Jesus, your Christian life is compared to that of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Like a soldier, you must, in reliance upon the Holy Spirit, prioritize your life and set your heart on pleasing your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Like an athlete, you must exercise personal discipline in your life and obey the Word of God. And like a farmer, you must persevere and work extremely hard in the service of Christ and be patient. And believer in Jesus Christ, God is so willing to give you understanding of his word. You can count on that. So as you read the Bible, reflect on its timeless truth and meditate on them, the Holy Spirit will not fail to give you understanding and enlighten the eyes of your heart. Now, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you cannot count on God to give you understanding in everything. That promise is only reserved for born-again believers who are bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought into a personal saving relationship with him, and therefore belong to him for all eternity. But thankfully, God has not closed his door of salvation on you. In fact, today, at this very moment, he's ready and willing to let you into his door of salvation. That is through Jesus Christ, who is the way and the life, who is the way and the life and the way and the truth and the life. The Bible says no one comes to the Father except through him. So please, I urge you today, come to Jesus just as you are. confess to Jesus that you are a sinner and call upon the name of Jesus today with simple, sincere, childlike faith that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins, that he rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says you will be saved and made a new creation and set apart for the purposes of God today and for all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder today that the Christian life involves warfare. And Lord, we know that without the power of your Holy Spirit, we cannot be good soldiers. So I do pray today for the power of your Holy Spirit to strengthen each one of us so that we can fulfill the calling you have set upon our lives. Now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ himself, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.